Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in Isaiah and chapter 12. We shall read the last verse of the chapter, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. We now come to the end of this passage that we have been considering, and it reveals comfort that the believer experiences. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. And God comforts his people as he is the source of their salvation. He is the author of salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. He is the author and the accomplisher of the salvation of his people. He is their Savior, and in him his people are safe. And the believer goes on, having experienced salvation, the believer goes on drawing water from the wells of salvation, verse 3. And we should constantly be going back to where we first cast our anchor, as it were, going again and again to the source of salvation, God and his grace revealed in Christ. And the prophet calls the people to praise, and or perhaps better to say, he is saying that they will praise the Lord in that day, in that gospel day. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. He is saying that they will be praising the Lord, they will be praying to the Lord, they will be proclaiming the name of the Lord. And last time we considered the duty and privilege of singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord and the subject of praise, he hath done excellent things, and the spread of the gospel, this is known in all the earth. And now here in our text, the church is being urged to cry out and shout. And we are given the reason why. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Well, do we think of God as great? Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of the church. And do we see his greatness as revealed in Zion, revealed in the church of the living God? Well, with the Lord's help, we will consider first of all the inhabitant of Zion, that is, the believer in Christ. And secondly, the duty to cry out and shout, or to be very joyful. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. And then the reason why, in the third place, the Holy One of Israel, the glory of the Lord in the church. The glory of the Lord in the church. So we have the believer in Christ, the duty to be very joyful, and the glory of the Lord revealed in the church. First of all, the inhabitant of Zion. And we need to ask ourselves, are we one of them? Who is the inhabitant of Zion? This is the one that is being spoken to. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Zion, of course, is the hill or mountain where Jerusalem was, where the temple was built. And Zion is a symbol of the church. And the church, or Zion, is being personified as a woman, the inhabitant of Zion, who is to cry out and shout. This woman who lives in Zion, this is a personification of the church. And just as we sang in Psalm 9, verse 14, the psalmist desires to show forth all the God's praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. It is the gate or the place where believers are, where the church is. It is the church. And so the inhabitant of Zion is the church, and as you know, the church is the bride of Christ. The believer is united to Christ in a spiritual marriage. And so the church or Zion or the church, the same thing, is personified as a woman who is to cry out and shout. And the church is being told to cry aloud. Well, we will ask ourselves several questions about whether or not we are an inhabitant of Zion. Are you and I one of the many that make up the Church of God? And we're not now speaking of the visible church, but the church as it really is before God, what God sees. And you know, God sees the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. We can all see that you profess the truth, at least you say so, and you come prepared to hear the word of God, appropriately dressed and so on. That's all visible. We can see this. We can hear it with our ears. But God looks beyond what is visible to the heart. And he sees what makes the difference. And what the difference is in God's eyes is whether there's grace in the soul. So what are some characteristics of the inhabitant of Zion, a member of the invisible church? Well, if you are one of the members of the invisible church, you will be at home in the presence of God. The church, of course, is where God dwells. God is there. This is the place where God dwells, he says in Psalm 132 and verses 13 and 14. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. So we're considering the inhabitant of Zion. Zion is the habitation of God's people. It's also the habitation of God. He hath chosen it for himself. He says, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So God is there in the church, and his people are there, and they are at home there. That's where they desire to be. So if you're one of God's people, you will like to be in the presence of God. Not as Cain, who was impatient to get out of the presence of God. He wanted to be far as possible away from the truth. But God's people, when they are rightly exercised, when they're not cold and dead and in a backslidden condition, they desire to be in the presence of God, where God's worship is, to give expression to their desires for his glory, to praise him for his greatness, as we hope to notice. So do you desire to be at the place where God's honor dwelleth? Do you love the praises of God? Well, the inhabitant of Zion loves the inhabitants of Zion. That's another evidence. If you're one of the brethren, you love the brethren. If you're one of the children of God, you love the children of God. You're of one heart and one mind with them as to what really, really matters. And that's what we need to bear in mind. There's lots of things in the world that take our attention which don't really matter as much. But what really matters, the things of the Lord, they matter most of all. And this is where God's people are at one. Christ and him crucified. Now, the other differences, well, you're resolved to work through them or overlook them. Work through them or overlook them. Work through them or overlook them, and in all things to deal lovingly with God's people. And that brings us to the third point, which is spiritual knowledge leads to peace. Yes, it makes us zealous for the truth, but it also leads to peace in the context of the believing people of God. In the previous chapter, Isaiah speaks of the holy mountain. And that, of course, is another picture of Zion or the church. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So there will be a desire for the good of others, especially the good of God's people, doing good to others and seeking peace amongst the brethren, desiring the peace of Jerusalem. Is that our desire? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. They will be known as the inhabitants of Zion. So, do we live, as it were, do we live on the holy mountain? Is this our dwelling place? Like David, who said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as a member of the spiritual household, loving the children of God, desiring to be near to God himself in his worship. And also, remember, it's a holy mountain. The church is one, but the church is also holy. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Do we desire holiness? Do we desire to hate sin? Do we desire to follow the ways of the Lord? And are our desires accompanied with endeavors? People can say they love the Lord. They can say, I'm trying, I'm desiring, but are they endeavoring, putting their hand to the plow? And knowing that Christ is the foundation of salvation, and the mountain has a foundation for the church to rest upon, the spiritual mountain, and that is Christ, who suffered on the cross for his people, who died for them, who bought them with his blood. And if we're an inhabitant of Zion, we will feel that we are not our own. We belong to no one else but Christ. He is the master, and we owe all to him, and we are duty-bound to serve him. But it's not a slavish service. We love to be bound. We feel bound. We like to be bound, bound to serving Christ. Well, surely here are some evidences for every one of us to examine ourselves by, whether we're an inhabitant of Zion. And those who have to conclude they're not an inhabitant of Zion, those who are still outside of Christ, well, you have no hope while remaining aloof. Staying far away from Christ, staying far from the truth is not the way to be saved. But draw near and approach the living God through the merits of Christ. Trust in the mediator. Come to Jesus. We know that God is angry with the wicked every day. You might say, oh, those are people out there. No, there are people right here. People who have not come to Jesus. They are called children of wrath. They may be children in the church, but if they're not in Christ, they're under the wrath of God. And this should stir up parents to pray for their children. It should stir up children and anyone else not in Christ to pray for themselves and seek the Lord and to come to the refuge. Come to Jesus Christ who was crucified. Come to him and shelter beneath the precious blood. There is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God through the blood of his Son. Come for forgiveness and come to the blood, and your sins will be forgiven. His wrath will be turned away from you, and you will have cause to say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. And all those who come to Christ, they will have also this reason to praise the Lord, because he is great in the midst of the church. And so we notice, secondly, that they are to cry out and shout. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. The duty to cry out and shout, or the duty to be very joyful. The word cry out is literally to give a shrill sound. Perhaps someone overcome with joy gives a shrill sound. And the second word is shout, which means to cry aloud. That word is used in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 14, where sacrifices were being offered up. Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came from the offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And then we read verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. So there were religious exercises taking place. And then we read, the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Remember the Shekinah glory, God revealing himself there in the bright cloud. And we read verse 24, there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. So they cried aloud, they shouted. They saw the glory of the Lord. They were filled with wonder and awe, and they could not but express their feelings in shouts of joy. But of course, it was accompanied with reverence. We read that they fell on their faces. So we're to join trembling with our mirth, rejoice with trembling. And yet it is a great duty and a great privilege and a very uplifting exercise to rejoice in the Lord. We are to praise the Lord. We're to sing to the Lord. We are to rejoice in the Lord. As we read in Psalm 48, verse 11, let Mount Zion rejoice. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. So God reveals himself. Yes, he reveals himself in truth, in glory, and majesty, which evokes awe and admiration, but also gladness. Let the daughters of Judah be glad. Be joyful in your God. Be joyful in the King. We read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 149 and verse 2, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. So cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Be joyful, children of Zion. Be joyful in your King. Be joyful in the one who has saved you. Rejoice in Christ who bought you with his blood. Who are to rejoice in the Lord? They are those who trust in the Lord. We read in Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. So if you trust in the Lord, you need to rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. So these who trust in the Lord, they should rejoice and they should shout for joy. They should give full expression of their joyful feelings because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So that's all there in Psalm 5, verse 11, one verse. Those who trust in the Lord should rejoice, and those that love his name should be joyful in him. So if you love the name of God, you love to think upon the attributes of God, you love to think upon redemption, well, you should rejoice in him. How often should you rejoice? You know the answer to that question. Paul the Apostle says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice evermore. But you say, I'm sorrowful. I'm very sad. Well, you're not alone. Many of God's people have been sad. Perhaps many of God's people are sad now. But if you are one of God's people, then you have an inward satisfaction in God. You have an inward delight in Christ. Christ, who is the Savior, who reconciles sinners to God. And nothing would make you more glad than to know that Jesus is your Savior. And that's what you can say deep within you. And if you're trusting in him, there's an inward satisfaction with God. Jesus is the pearl of great price. You have reason to be glad, and no one can take that away from you. But if you endeavor to praise God, then joy will come. The psalmist says in Psalm 69, the verse I was thinking of, verse 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. Remind yourself that God is your salvation. And let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So pray to the Lord for his help. Pray for grace. Give thanks for his grace. Praise him for what he has done. Maybe you feel he's doing nothing for you right now, but praise him for what he has done. Praise him for what he has promised he will do. And soon you will be able to consciously join with the inhabitant of Zion. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. And we don't live in extraordinary times in terms of great revivals, And in extraordinary times, there would be no doubt people shouting for joy. People would give full expression to their exulting in God. There may yet be extraordinary times in which we ourselves will be shouting literally for joy. But we can abide by the principle of this psalm by heartily singing praises to God, joyfully praising God with uplifted voices, not whispering, but rejoicing in the Lord, singing heartily to the Lord. Well, let us notice in the third place the great reason to cry out and shout, and that is the glory of the Lord revealed in the church. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let us pray for a view of the glory of the Lord, and we might be more ready to cry out and shout. The Holy One of Israel is God. He is the holy God who has bound himself to Israel in a special way as their covenant God. God is holy. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He has a perfect love of righteousness and a perfect hatred of wickedness. But he's not only the Holy One, he is the Holy One of Israel. This holy God took Israel as his own covenant people into a covenant relationship with him, so that he says of them, they are my people. And they say of him, he is my God. Can you say that? I belong to God, and he is my God. Oh, what assurance that is. And don't rest till you can say, he is my God. The Lord Jesus on the cross, though he was not consciously enjoying the love of God, yet he still said, my God, my God. Feelings will come and go, but God does not change, and he will always be the God of his people. Cry to him, the Lord, my God. And we read that he is in the midst of his people. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And this is why the inhabitant of Zion is to shout. Because God is in the midst of his people. But not only that, he is great in the midst of his people. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And we know that in Zion, in the temple there, that is where God revealed himself. He revealed his glory. His glory was seen to be great. He manifested his presence to the people through the temple. And again, it's in the church that God manifests his presence. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is there. He manifests his presence to his people and by his people. And great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now, it's not only that God who is in the midst of his people is great, but God is great in the midst of his people. Think of that. We know that God is great, and this great God is in the midst of his people. But that is not so much as much the point, but that in the midst of his people is where his greatness appears. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Literally, the Hebrew has this order, great in the midst of thee is the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of his people, God shows himself to be great. How? By delivering them from their foes, by sending his Son to die for them, to save them from their sins. In the midst of the church, God is great because of the great things he has done for them. And so his glory and greatness are most clearly revealed in the church. Is this then our desire to honor him in this place where his honor dwells? The glory of God is manifest in the church. He's the Holy One of Israel, and it's in Israel where his holiness clearly shines, because he has a people who serve him. That's why he called them to himself, that they would obey him. Read the end of Psalm 105, that they, his laws, might obey. That's why he delivered them from Egypt. And that's where his glory is revealed. The Holy One of Israel is great in the midst of his people. And he sends his Spirit to purify them. And his holiness appears both in that the blood of Christ washes away their sin, he covers them with his righteousness, and he sends his Spirit to sanctify them. The Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So why is the church great? A simple answer: because God, who is in the midst of the church, is great, and because God reveals his greatness in the church. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Well, we should be praying for the building up of the church, that God would add to his church such as should be saved, and that God's people would be righteous and holy. And why is Zion the perfection of beauty? Because of this, God hath shined there. Psalm 50, verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. And this is why the psalmist can say of the church, all my wellsprings in thee are. All my life, the source of strength, it's in the church, because God is in the church. Christ is in the church. Christ is revealed in the promises and in the preaching. Christ is there. His people love to be there. And it's God who is great in the midst of his people, revealing his greatness in them and through them. And his greatness appears in giving his people rest. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign for the of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. A flag or a banner is raised high on Mount Zion, and all the people rally around it. They come to Christ, who is proclaimed in the gospel. They're coming to Jesus for rest. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, this is knowledge that we need, and we need this knowledge blessed to our souls, that we would get a view of the precious Savior, that we would come to him by his grace, and that we would find rest from all of our weariness and from all of the burden of guilt that we have. Rest in Christ. He's calling us for rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Pray for that knowledge, spiritual, saving, blessed knowledge, and pray that the knowledge of the Lord would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that sinners would be saved, and that they would have cause to say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. May he bless his word. Let us pray.